Hansel Watch. That's what we're calling this now. This is the Montreal Bias Podcast. I'm Zach. He's Sean. The trades are breaking, which means by the time you hear this, everything will have happened, and it probably won't be all that interesting. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Happy to be back on the big show.
Yeah, apologies to everyone that it's been a while, but this is it. The first podcast of the post-Terrien, pre-Hansel era.
I know. We got to get your thoughts on that. Let's kick it off with that, because I did mine on the recency bias. But what do you think, Claude Julien, now the head coach? Michel Therrien out. I know for that was at least part of what's been keeping you away from the Habs. It was one of the players in it. So what percentage, I guess, first question, what percentage are you in, back in?
Let's go 38%.
38%. All right.
38%.
Is that 38% more, or just as a total? Now we're at 38%.
As a total, okay. But it went from about 2 to 38.
So it's a big jump.
It's a big jump.
Big jump.
Listen, it's the move we've all kind of wanted to see this happen for a couple of years now, right?
Yes.
And you know, on the whole, Terrien's record with the Habs was pretty good, but I think it was becoming increasingly obvious that they needed to do something. I think they got lucky timing wise. Like if the Bruins had decided to hang on to Julien, then there's no doubt in my mind that Terrien is still the coach of the Habs.
Yeah, that's the big question everyone seems to have. And obviously Bergeron said it had nothing to do with it, but I don't think that's the case. I think it had everything to do with it, or at least was the major factor in the firing of Michel Terrien.
Yep, absolutely. Especially for Montreal, right? Like,
yeah.
Because this is a team that's self-limited their coaching pool to five people at any given time. And when one of them becomes available and your guy's on thin ice, as it were, then you got to make that move. Because let's say they don't. Let's say Julien gets snatched up by Florida.
Yeah.
Then what do you do? Then you're just waiting until Alain Vigneault gets fired?
I guess so. Because Guy Boucher's working, right? Like who would even be on the list at this point?
Yeah.
If it's not Claude Julien. Like if they had fired Terrien last week and Julien wasn't available, or Boston had refused to let Julien talk to Montreal.
Yeah.
Where do we find ourselves at that point? Like, I just don't know who you hire. And maybe, maybe that was Bergevin's long view the whole time. Maybe that's why he said all that foxhole stuff, was because he was like, what am I going to do? If I fire this guy, what am I really left with? And that's a big bullet for a GM to use. You want to make sure that the next guy you bring in is the right guy, because he's probably the last guy you get to bring in.
Yeah, and I think that's true in every case, but it's like we said, it's especially true in Montreal, because there's five guys you can hire.
What's your estimate?
As evidenced by the fact that, you know, the last time Michel Therrien was coach and they fired him, they brought him
exactly.
And then repeated the exact same process 10 years later.
That's true. I love that so much. What's your assessment overall of Claude Julien as a coach? Like, when Ian and I were talking on the recency bias, we both had him minimum top five, possibly top three in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've said before that there's maybe 5 to 8 coaches in the league that really make a difference.
Yeah.
And I would put him on that list. And then there's maybe 3 or 4 coaches that are so horrible that they make a difference in the other direction. And then there's about 20 guys that are interchangeable. I don't think Julien is one of those interchangeable guys. I think he's one of the guys, whatever the number is, 5, 6, 7, 8 coaches who can legitimately make, you know, an average team good and a good team a cup contender.
So what does he turn the Habs into in your eyes?
I guess I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here, because I think it all comes down to Carey still.
That's fair.
The way this team is built is, you know, they're going to go as far as Carey Price takes them. And when he's looking like the best goalie in the world, then that could be the cup. When he's looking like the guy he's looked like for the past 6 weeks, that's first round exit.
All right, that's a good segue into a bit. Let's do it. And an advertisement. What a segue. Good job, Sean. You're a pro at this.
Oh, yeah.
So, Wrangler. Real. Comfortable jeans. Our Wrangler. Not an official sponsor. Question of the week. Comfort question of the week. Let's call it that. Is Carey Price comfortable in nets again, Sean O'Neill?
He's looking better, right?
He's looking a lot better.
Yeah.
He's got like, I don't know, this may be off by a couple points, but it's safe to say he's got like a .938 save percentage over his last 4 starts or so. Of the Claude Julien era, he's got like nearly .940 save percentage. And he's had some massive saves.
Yes, he has.
He's had some real highlights.
Interesting thing too, right? Because, I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy who's been just incredible for a couple years now and went into a bit of a tailspin, and no one really seems to know why, like, unless he's got an injury that he's hiding, like, you know, was it the coaching? Was it just a weird fluke? Was it something else? But
I voted for his baby. It's his baby's fault.
Fair.
Yeah. Never have a child, kids. That's my advice to you. It'll ruin your life. Think, if look at me, I don't have a kid, and here I am living my best life, podcasting.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. This is way more rewarding. So, yeah, whatever it was, it seems like he may have shaken it right now.
Yeah, and I, as much shit as I've given Tyrion, I suspect he would have shaken it at some point under Tyrion as well. But, you know, I think we'll see the real Carey Price come back. If he's not back already, I think, you know, by the end of the season, he'll be back to being Carey Price.
Here's a narrative that I kind of like, because the numbers sort of bear it out. It's not just a narrative that's thrown up there with no evidence. Like, the stare may have turned into something, because his numbers fell off. Like, not within a couple games. That game. The game in which Carey Price gave the stare somewhere at the bench, be it Michel Therrien or his teammates, it was never determined, obviously. But after that was when his numbers really dropped. Like, literally at that game was when his numbers dropped off. And you do have to wonder if maybe he just got sick. Maybe that was his final straw with Michel Therrien and the fact that he'd been playing behind some rather shitty defensive schemes for quite a few years now. And he was just like, you know, screw this.
Yeah, there might be something to it. Like, normally I think those things are overstated, but it's not. We do forget that these are real people, and, you know, the dynamics of the locker room and the team are similar in some ways to the dynamics in any workplace. And if you're pissed off, you're not necessarily going to be, you know, your best self every game. It's entirely possible that that was the case.
Well, it takes supreme focus for these elite athletes, especially a goalie, to do what they do, right? So yeah. If for any reason or combination of reasons, you take your foot off the gas a little, maybe that's a big difference maker. You know, maybe Carey Price's edge comes from that final 5% that he needs, that, you know, fire burning in him at all times to keep competing. And if he's sick of hearing the same thing from Michel Therrien, he's sick of getting these shitty defensive schemes in front of him that really don't seem to be helping and are only hurting, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe that's enough for him to go, ah, I've lost that edge. As you say, we do forget these guys are people. Even Carey Price might be human. Like, I think it's fair to say that maybe after hearing 5 years, even if he liked Michel Therrien, 5 years of the same guy, maybe you just need a change.
Yeah. And coaches, you know, there is such a thing as a coach losing a locker room. That's not a complete narrative, let alone, you know, a coach losing a certain player. I doubt it was an intentional thing. You know, I doubt, you know, Price is, you know, I just don't give a shit anymore. I'm not going to play the best of my ability to try and get Therrien out of there. But yeah, if you're unhappy with your situation, it's not inconceivable that you're not going to play quite as well.
It's more fun for this podcast, though, if we claim it wasn't on purpose, Sean.
Sure, fair.
So you gotta learn how to really deliver a take these days.
That's true.
You're bringing far too much reason again. Our sellout's going poorly if you're going to be like that. I agree. And, like, there's always this sort of thinking around losing the locker room that, like, people act like it means there's infighting or the guys hate the coach. Not necessarily. Sometimes it just means, like, I don't have it anymore to go out and bust my ass every day for you. It's in 5 years, I can see that happening in any situation.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think he did lose the locker room. I think that players meeting that Bergeret and Co. tried to say wasn't a big deal was probably a big deal. I think he did probably lose Price, but I still think there's a good chance he was still head coach if Claude Julien hadn't been fired. But now we have Claude Julien. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, you look what he's done in Boston over the last, whatever it was, 8 or 9 years, and, like, yeah, he had some nice players, but that was a really successful run.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, who knows which of those players he helped turn into that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's a fantastic coach. I think he was easily the best guy that they could have hired for the situation. And we'll see where things go. But I'm much more confident that he's the type of guy who can get the most out of this team and turn them into perennial contenders than I think Therrien would have been able to.
So from Therrien, we go into one of our award-winning bits. I don't think that's true. but you know, fake news. Who is ripping us off this week? James Duthie has now entered the podcast game, Sean.
Has he really? I missed that.
Yeah. So that's another one. Another one of these amateurs trying to come in and play with the big boys like us.
Typical.
So, but this made me, a couple things I wanted to go from this. I'm interested in listening to James Duthie podcast. One that I want to recommend to people out there, and I've recommended Spit and Chicklets before, and I don't think it's one that I don't listen every week. It's not one that I'm necessarily subscribed to, but I do follow along and see who they're talking to, and sometimes I'll give it a listen. So Spit and Chicklets, that's the one with Rear Admiral that Barstool does. But Hal Gill was on, I think, last week's episode, and it was really great to hear Hal Gill talked about Michelle Terry a little bit, talked about his time in Montreal a little bit. So as a Habs fan, I was a Hal Gill fan, I recommend that's a good listen right there.
Yeah, not for nothing, but Barstool is really I still don't love everything they do, but they've turned it around quite a bit. They do a lot of pretty good stuff.
Yeah, no, they've changed a lot from what they were to. They're contributing now, and I really like I enjoy the Pardon My Take podcast as well. They're doing some good stuff, but as I don't listen to that Spit and Chicklets every week, but that's that Hal Gill one was an interesting interview. I thought Hal Gill, apparently I didn't know this. Jaromir Jagr said Hal Gill's the toughest player he ever played against.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe, I guess Jagr didn't like traveling long distances.
I don't know what to do
distances.
With that information. But
me neither. So I needed to put that out there. I wasn't sure what to do with that either. What are you...
Weird. Like, you do have, like, great hitters who are, like, you know, 1-for-29 in their career against some, like, fourth starter. It's kind of I guess it's kind of the same deal. I don't know.
Yeah. No idea. But that was...
Hal Gill's a nice player, but for, you know, the fifth best forward of all time to say he was the toughest player he ever played against is kind of weird.
Yeah, I didn't, but... I mean, I'd feel good about that if I was Hal Gill.
Yeah.
What other hockey podcasts do you listen to? Because I've had a few people ask me which ones besides ours. Or maybe I think they're probably looking for something else to listen to because they're grown sick of this. They're just not sure where to look. What other ones do you listen to?
It's really the two big ones. I guess the three big ones. I listen to MVSW and Puck Soup.
Same.
And then Biscuits as well. So they're all kind of in the same family, I suppose.
Yeah, those are the ones I'm listening to. Basically, here's how I break it down between those. So Biscuits is Dave Lozo and friend of our podcast, Sean McIndoo. McIndoo? Yes. There. Yes. Got it. Second time. Whatever. That's pretty much them hating everything about the NHL. That's what that podcast is. MVSW. I really like MVSW these days. I feel like it's hit a new stride with Wish doing his other, I don't know, his more comedy bits on the other podcast. Like, he's still funny on MVSW. But I just like Merrick seems more in the industry than he ever has been before. And he's not shy about bringing that info to the podcast these days.
Like, yeah, so those are the ones I tend to stick to.
Do you ever listen to the Hockey PDO cast with Dmitry Filipovich?
I have on occasion, yeah. And also our friends, we should give a shout out to our friends at
Pucks on Net.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good one. We should actually get them. We should do a cross pod with them one day whenever Montreal's next playing the, what are they? I bounce between them being dog shit and mediocre, those Vancouver Canucks. How would you rate them right now?
They're dog shit wrapped in a thin veneer of mediocrity that is preventing them from recognizing how dog shit they are and going through a long overdue rebuilding process.
That was poetry, my friend. It was beautiful. A single tear from me over here. So yeah, that's our podcast bit. But James Duthie's getting one. And the one guy that I would still, I know everyone's got one now. But Elliot Friedman doesn't have one. And that's one of the guys I would definitely listen to if he had one. 30 yeah. Thoughts, you know, in podcast form, because then I wouldn't have to read. Reading so hard.
It is not the greatest.
It's not the greatest. All right. From Who's Ripping Us Off This Week, we go into our biggest hit of all, 76v6. Holy crap, this is a big week for 76v6.
Yeah, big week for one of them.
So, Thursday night, PK is coming to the Bell Center.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he is...
Yeah, 12 points in his last 9 games or something, I think, is what he's got. He's like within, I don't know, 4 or 5 points back of Shea Weber now. Shea got off to a really hot start. PK Subban missed some time. So here we are.
Against Edmonton, by the way.
What's that?
2 assists today against Edmonton.
Yeah, I was watching that game, actually.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, just because this is the first time, this game coming up this week, could be the coronation once and for all. This is going to be the last time, I'm worried at least, this is the last time that I go ahead and give Montreal Canadiens they're winning the race. And you know what? I'm full of shit when I say that because I think PK passed him now.
PK is coming on. Philip Forsberg's coming on, and Nashville's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
My beloved Nashville Wild are looking really, really good.
Yeah.
And I know Weber's been taking a lot of heat lately. I think that's actually, and this, you know, it's hard for me to say this. I think that's been a bit overstated. He's been fine.
And he's been good under Claude Julien, actually. I think he's had, he's started to look good again. He was middling in the, like everybody else on the team. So, you know, how much crap can you really give him when everybody's been pretty bad except for Radulov and Pacioretty? And he wasn't horrible, and he's, you know, trying to clean up for Alexi Emelin's mess night in, night out. But now what we saw against Toronto on Saturday night was when he wasn't paired with Alexi Emelin, he was much better. And he's been pretty good in general, even when he was still with the Emelin for a couple games there at the Claude Julien times. I think there's been some overstatement on how bad Shea Weber has supposedly been these last couple weeks, and I really do think he might shine a little bit under Julien right now. And especially, and I know this is not an original thought in the slightest, but with him not playing with Emelin, that could be a huge boost for him, not having to make up for that idiot's mistakes.
Yeah, he needs to be with a guy. I mean, he's not a mobile guy himself, no. So you can't have two statues paired together. It's just you can't do that in this day and age. But he needs to be with a guy with some wheels on him.
Like, I understood Therrien's thinking a little bit, like, okay, Alexi Emelin only makes stupid choices, so we'll put him with a guy who, you know, maybe he can learn from, because Shea Weber always kind of makes the right choice, but it just, they were too similar in their pylonness. Like, Shea Weber is not a quick mover, so, you know, let's figure out, it looks like Andre Markov might work well with him, I'd be okay with that, but even if it's Petrie or Bolia, whoever it is, make him one of the puck-moving guys, which just seems like it would complement much better, you know, like he was playing with Roman Josi.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so I guess for the sake of having one narrative and really, being interesting, really what's that?
PK's really...
yeah, I know.
He's looking like we thought he would.
Yeah, exactly. It took a little while. He was having a slow season, but this last stretch has been the best Subban's been all year.
Yeah.
Wah, wah. No, I want PK to do well. I just also want Shea Weber to do well.
You're a better man than me.
I know. But that's got nothing to do with this. All right. And now another huge hit bit. Who's the best skater in the world? I've got a real wild card for you this week. But first, I want to hear your thoughts.
You're going off the board?
Off the board.
Are you? Ooh.
Yeah.
Speaking of that Edmonton-Nashville game, Conrad had a nice little goal there.
Yeah, he did.
The wheels, I mean, I know we say this every week, but that, God, he's fast.
He's so fast. When you watch, you can't help but say it, even if you've said it 100 times. I feel like the Edmonton fans just say that all the time. Man, he's fast. Every game.
I think I'm giving the edge to Connor right now. And that's a team that'll be interesting to see what they do at the deadline and see if Edmonton adds any pieces.
I think they're going to make the playoffs finally.
I think so, too.
I confidently think they might do it this year. Good for them.
Yeah, which will be fun. It'll be so much fun to see McDavid in the playoffs.
Absolutely. But yeah, I got to go off the board this week, and I say this only because, as listeners know, I live in Toronto, so I've been absorbing a lot of Toronto media lately, reading a lot of the Toronto stuff, and it's pretty obvious by what I'm surrounded by right now that the greatest player in the world is actually Auston Matthews.
I don't even know if he's the best rookie in the world.
Exactly. My God, it's disgusting, Sean.
I know. Like, it's still. I mean, listen, I hate the Maple Leafs more than anything, but it's been a little fun this year watching them with the young guys.
Yeah.
But we all know that it's going to go from fun to obnoxious in 6 months maximum.
I live here. It's already obnoxious.
Yeah.
I was back to really hating the Leafs hard on Saturday night. Like, I did not want to lose. And I'd been kind of indifferent about Leafs games throughout this season and last season. But, oh, I wanted that win bad, and not just for the Canadiens on Saturday night. I wanted to beat the Leafs. I mean, they lost for the 14th straight fucking time to us, which is amazing, by the way. And they were still getting lippy and cocky. And yeah, I'm seeing things today like, Habs fans really, really shitting on us now. It's just because you're getting scared. No, it's because we beat you 14 straight times now. When you've got a rivalry and you beat the other one 14 consecutive times, you tend to rub that in their face a little, especially if they're getting full of themselves real quick.
Yeah, which it's fun hitting the Leafs. I kind of missed it.
Yeah, no, it's nice that it's back. I actually hate Marner more than I hate Austin Matthews, and I'm not quite sure why. I just do. Like, I feel like Austin Matthews, I could have a – I don't know. Maybe not. His face was bothering me on Saturday night.
He does have a very punchable face.
Right? Yeah, it's not helping. It looks like he's Danny Briere-esque in that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you want to punch him. Well, his mom. His mom's got a nice face. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, there's something – I could see the years breaking out where I kind of respect Austin Matthews in a Matt Sundin way and hate Mitch Marner in a Darcy Tucker way.
Yeah, although I think it's – speaking of podcasts we listen to, I think Wish has this theory that, you know, Marner's going to end up being the more beloved guy just because he's the good old Canadian boy.
Oh, absolutely.
There's probably something to that.
I mean, you're already hearing it despite, you know, me coming in with this hot take that Austin Matthews, according to Toronto media, is the greatest player in the world. I don't even know that that is true in Toronto because it's already started where there's this talk of, well, actually, Mitch Marner is the more important of the two. Like, I think that it's likely that neither Matthews or Marner will win the Rookie of the Year simply because they'll split the vote in Toronto.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that Liney is at, what, 30, whatever he's at now.
Yeah, it's crazy how good these rookies are.
I know, it's fun, and it's for the first time, and I mean, we've made this point before too, but for the first time in forever, like, a lot of Canadian franchises, like, have legitimate stuff to look forward to, you know, like,
yep.
Toronto's got those three great young players, you know, Edmonton's got the best young player in the game, Calgary's got a kind of a nice little core.
A little bit. Vancouver's got Ryan Miller.
Vancouver's got Ryan Miller and the Sedin twins.
It's hot.
You know, Scheifele and Laine in Winnipeg, like, that's pretty awesome.
Laine's fun. I love Laine.
Yeah.
I also think I like Laine because he's not Austin Matthews and I just want him to be better.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good... If the roles were reversed, I'm sure I'd be singing...
You know,
the ping pong balls that flipped a different way, I'd be singing the exact opposite tune.
Who do you think will have the better career? Based purely on these first 6 months of their career. Our new bit called Who Do You Think Will Have the Better Career?
I mean, you'd probably still take Matthews first if you had to do the draft over, right?
Yeah.
I think
it'll be hard to say who had the better career, to be honest. I think they're going to be very different players. They sort of already are.
Yeah, it's sort of a slightly lesser version of Sid and Ovi, right?
Yeah, hopefully quite a bit lesser in the case of Austin Matthews.
Yeah, hopefully.
I don't know what his... I mean, he is 19 and has like 30 goddamn goals.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're acting tough. We beat him 14 straight, but you're a little nervous about the Leafs.
I mean, it's the Leafs and they might find a way, but it's kind of hard to fuck this up. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, they still don't have any defensemen or a goalie. And we've seen in Edmonton and Colorado that's, you know... Teams can, and Dallas for that matter, we've seen teams that we think are going to take the league over because they have this collection of young forwards. And then you quickly find out that when you neglect the two other position groups that, you know, you're not going to make the playoffs, let alone contend for a cup. So, but that's a nice young core they got. And they've got some fucking smart guys on that team.
Yeah, that's the problem. They got a really good coach. They got smart people. Anderson's okay, I think. I mean, if Anderson can get screwed over by the city, then that would be nice. And there's a good chance of that. Like, it already almost happened. He's been good as of late, but I don't know that, you know, I'm not completely confident that he's going to be great for them. And you're right. Like, look, even at the success they've had this season, so often when you watch them, and one of the reasons they are kind of fun to watch is they play in, like, crazy games.
Yeah.
It's obvious that they've got a lot to learn still. It's obvious that they're light on that blue line. Like, I'm not, like, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, Nylander, to an extent, could really turn into something. But I don't feel so confident that Morgan Riley's necessarily going to turn into a top two, you know, all-star D-man by any stretch.
Oh, I think he's the Toronto's had a long list of D-man prospects that they've really hyped up who haven't, you know, been okay. But
the great Luke Shen.
Exactly.
Man, he was supposed to be the next great thing.
And the next Chris Pronger.
Yeah, it wasn't so much, I don't think. I forgot the scouting report on that guy. Time to check in on Hanzel Watch. Let's see. Has he been traded yet? This is it. Because here's what's fun for you, listener at home. You know already if he's been traded or not. But I am waiting for my update on my Twitter. Doesn't look like it.
Doesn't look like it, but yeah, I'm like you. I've kind of been refreshing Twitter all day, and it's, you know, it could just be chatter, but a lot of people seem to think he is Montreal bound.
I'm here in Minnesota right now, seems to be the more interesting thing.
It would be a nice move for Bergevin. Like, unless you get one of the Colorado guys, there's no one out there who's, you know, that missing piece is going to put you over the top type guy.
So he's got 16 goals and 10 assists.
Yeah, he's a nice player. He'd be a nice ad.
Yeah, I don't think, like, he's not going to necessarily deliver the Stanley Cup, but he's an addition to a team that needs help down the middle.
Yeah, he makes your team better. He's not the missing piece, but he makes your team better.
But if you add him, I
think coaching change was the big move.
Yes. Is this overstating it? Because this was my thought. Is getting Claude Julien as big as adding an all-star?
No.
Yes, it is. We'll try that again. I'm going to edit it. Sean, let me ask you this. No?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know, man. It changes the way.
I think Bergevin had one, you know, you either had to make a big trade or you had to change the coaches, and he went with the latter.
So the trade deadline's coming up this week. Does Bergevin still have to make a move for you?
It'd be nice.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be a Hanzel type move. Like, it'll be a nice move, but, like, a depth move. It's not going to be Duchesne. It's not going to be Landeskog. It's not going to be, you know, whoever.
I am seeing some fans and people who are a little bit more in the blog and podcast world on Habs Twitter who seem like they seem to think getting Hanzel would be a horrible idea. And I don't really get that. Like, obviously it depends on the return, and the cost earlier seemed like it was pretty high. But he's not a bad player. 16 goals, 10 assists. He's not exactly a defensive liability or anything. Like, he's a decent player. I don't know what this fear is. It's not like you're going out and getting like Matt Martin or something for an expensive piece. Like, he's a real player.
Yeah, he's a second, third line guy. He brings something to the table. Yeah, you don't want to see them give up, you know, McCarron and Bullio and a first round pick for him, but like
I don't see Bergevin doing that. No, but you know what I mean? That's what people are scared. When is Bergevin ever overpaid?
Yeah.
Besides for Shea Weber.
Well, okay.
I beat you.
I think that'll be the type of move that he'd be looking to make. And I think that makes sense. You know, maybe Patrick Eves, someone like that. Like, again, there's not a ton of – it doesn't seem like there's a ton available this year.
You know what my wet dream would be for this deal? That's a new bit called You Know What My Wet Dream Would Be? is I would like to see them bring in the sex addict, Patrick Sharp, and Johnny Oduya. Get them from Dallas. I'd pay interesting to have those two brought in, right?
Yeah.
Could both available.
Yeah.
Give up that first rounder this time. That makes you legit. You get those two, or semi-legit, depending on Carey Price.
Yeah, they could use some help on the blue line.
Absolutely.
I mean, Sergachev's a no-go for almost anyone, I would think. But
oh yeah, no, and rightfully so. I think we need our replacement for Andre Markov.
He might be the only really untouchable guy who's not on the roster yet.
Yeah, right now, and this hurts me to say. This is a bit in the confession thing. I'm starting to think McCarron's going to be a bust, so I would shop him now while there's still value there before you end up with, another situation where the guy's completely depleted his value and you get, like, a fourth rounder in return.
Yeah, I could. You kind of want to see if Julien can do something with him.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen – like, he has moments, but he's not young anymore. And he just seems to not quite have something because he'll do it for a couple games and then just – then he's right out of his element again.
Yeah, and you're down on him, and I'm at the point where I think Nathan Beaulieu's a fine player. He's okay.
Yeah.
That's about it. Like, for a guy that we thought was going to be, you know, an all-star caliber defenseman and the centerpiece of any trade for bringing someone, you know, truly special back, I don't know about that.
The older I get, or maybe just
he's good. He's a number four defenseman.
The older I get, the more hockey I've seen, I guess. The more it shocks me how much we overvalue. Everybody overvalues their own prospects and other prospects.
Yeah.
Like, maybe take guys who are proven sometimes. I know, like, you never want to regret giving up something valuable. But, man, there's a lot to be won if you just don't have the highest of expectations for each and every one of your prospects.
Yeah. And I don't know if Montreal is more guilty of that than other markets, but it seems like that sometimes. But that's also just because I follow it more than I follow, you know, Nashville Wild prospects.
Yeah. I think that's just like a proximity bias, possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be willing to shop a lot of the guys. Yeah, and you're right. Nate Beaulieu, like, I hope maybe Claude Julien can turn him into something else. There's a few guys who I'd like to see, you know, what Julien can do with, and he's definitely one of them. Another being Andrew Shaw so far has looked like he's a different player under Julien than he was under Therrien. So there's a few guys, but I think we have a pretty good idea of what Nate Beaulieu is at this point.
Yeah, we need to do at some point, like during the off season, we'll do the pod where we reminisce about all these, you know, once future great Canadians who turned into, you know, okay players.
Here's a mystery that I can't figure
out. I'll wear my Guillaume Latin dress shirt.
Yes. I'll put on my, I didn't buy any bad prospect ones. I had a Chris Sabella who had a jersey though at a point. That's pretty sweet. What about some? I've had Gianta, I've had, obviously Subban, but that one's not funny.
No, that's not funny.
That's not funny. Don't talk about that like that.
Did you have a commissaric or am I misremembering?
You're misremembering. There was I did not own a commissaric. We had mutual friends who did own commissaric full jerseys, actually.
Yeah, the full sweater.
That's too bad.
Yeah, that's rough.
So from Hanzel Watch, I want to go to Jagr Watch. It doesn't look like he's going to be in the mix anymore because stupid Florida's back in it.
They look really good.
God damn it. Thought there was an opportunity.
We've been worried about Ottawa this whole time. Like, would it shock you if Florida ends up winning the division?
I guess not. They've come on strong.
Yeah. I do think Julien is going to give the team enough of a balance to hold on to first place.
I hope so. Which would be interesting.
If Therrien was still the coach, I would not be confident about this team's ability to win the division. But
no, I would. If Therrien was still the coach, I'd be thinking we might fall out of the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
God, it's horrible. This is another reoccurring bit of things I say every week, but God, is that a bad division?
That's one of my favorite bits. How bad is our division? So let's take a look at the division at the moment. Montreal still in first with 3 games in hand on Ottawa, though, but 4 points up. So, all right, fine. Boston's in third there. And then the wild card, Columbus and Toronto. Hey, Columbus. I thought they were supposed to be actually good, might fall out of the playoffs. Islanders and Florida are coming on strong. 3 points out of Toronto, who currently has 69 points. Nice.
The Islanders, that coaching change was, they've looked like a different team ever since then.
Complete. Well, Florida too. I mean, it took them a little while to get it back on track, but they're running it up. And this is another reoccurring bit, but I think we can go ahead and scratch them off at this point. I'm ready to do it. Tampa Bay, man. And they're obviously, I think, ready to do it too, since they just traded Ben Bishop to L.A.
Yeah, it's not happening this year.
Nope.
And I, like, it wouldn't shock me. Tampa's always done this weird thing where they're, like, contending. Then they have a shitty season and they pick up Stamkos. Then they're contending. They have a shitty year and they get Hedman.
Yeah.
They contend for 4 years. They have a horrible year and they pick up Drouin. Like, it's weird, but they know how to, like, they randomly have these dog shit seasons and then just once every 5 years they come away with, like, a franchise type player.
They were a very trendy pick to win the Stanley Cup. And right now they're tied with the Buffalo fucking Sabres.
I know.
That's amazing to me. Imagine how we'd be freaking out if we had a supposed Stanley Cup contender on our hands and we're diddling down there with the Sabres.
Diddling down with the Sabres. Another new bit.
That's our new podcast, actually. It's going to be dedicated to the Sabres. Eichel and other players they have.
Yeah, it's just one of those lost seasons. I know that, I mean, they've had injuries, and we continuously neglect to talk about the fact that Stamkos isn't on their team, but still, there should be enough talent on that team to withstand those injuries, especially given the fact that they've done it in years past.
Is John Cooper a bad coach?
No.
Then what the hell's going on?
I don't know.
They'll win the Stanley Cup next year.
That's entirely possible.
They'll probably be smart enough to fall all the way to last place. Get first overall pick, and then bounce back next year.
That would fit their MO. They've done that a couple times. Yeah.
How about that Drouin shift? Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Go find that if you haven't seen that, people. It's my hot tip video.
How good does Yzerman look for hanging on to him?
Oh, that was crazy. I can't believe that worked out for them. I can't believe everything that worked out for them, other than the fact that for some reason they're tied with the Sabres. But, like, I don't know. It seems like everything should have worked out for them. And I completely expect them to bounce back next year.
I don't see how they can't. There's too much talent on that team.
They should be smart this year, though. And it wouldn't shock me if they are smart. I mean, dealing Bishop, I had a bit that I wanted to do, which is basically like talking about who we think should get moved. And top of my list was Ben Bishop for all the reasons that we're talking about now. But then right before we went to do this podcast, that broke. Like, the smart move was to do exactly what they're doing. They were going to hold on to him possibly if they look like they were a cup contender, because that's also intelligent. But now that they're clearly not, they had to move him. And also, Ben Bishop is no longer in the division. Thank God.
Yeah.
He had our number.
Yeah.
I don't know that Vasilevsky does, man. This could be huge for the Canadiens.
Apparently, they are just sky high on him. But
yeah.
I mean, Bishop, it wasn't that long ago that Bishop was a Vezina caliber, you know, type goalie.
Last year?
Yeah, 2 years ago at least.
Yeah, like, he's good. And now he joins another Vezina caliber goalie in Los Angeles. Jonathan Quick. Maybe the greatest goalie of our time. Who else has 3 Stanley Cups, Sean?
2, right?
Oh, yeah, 2. I'm counting this year's already. He and Bishop piggyback to it. So Budaj's back in the division, though. He's in Tampa Bay.
What's that?
Say Budaj was in the move back.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, so Budaj's with the Lightning now. It seems Peter Budaj, Eric Cernak, and a 2017 seventh-round pick is what it cost to get Ben Bishop. Holy shit.
That doesn't seem like much.
Is Eric Cernak a... I don't know what that is. I don't know what an Eric Cernak is.
Yeah, I will preface this comment by saying that, you know, I can name about 8 prospects, but he is not one of them.
So there you go. I'm trying to see who Cernak is. Defenseman. Cernak, 6'3", 221, skated in 41 games in the OHL for the Erie Otters. He's got 3 goals, 17 points. He's 19.
First round pick?
I don't even see what he is. That's all I know about him. So, man, it doesn't seem like the price was so high to get Ben Bishop.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like,
that's fucking interesting, man.
I mean, LA's going to win that division, aren't they?
I think so.
Going to be LA-Chicago in the final again.
That wouldn't be shocking at all. Here we go. Arizona's receiving a first rounder and a second rounder and a conditional pick that could become a second for Hansel from Minnesota. Holy shit, yeah. That would have been a bit much to pay.
Yeah, this Bishop thing makes even less sense.
Elliot Friedman saying that it's done deal. Hansel to Minnesota for that. First, second, and maybe isn't second.
Okay. Well, I'm happy the Habs didn't do that.
Yeah, that would be a lot. So we're starting to get an idea of what things are going to... Or are we? I don't know. These are weird prices. I would have almost flipped the value of those 2 trades, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I do like it when the trades start trickling in a couple days before.
Yeah. I didn't like it back when I was... Go ahead.
Teams are just, you know, you have those years where everyone's just waiting for someone to make the first move and then, like, no one does. Yeah. But it's usually once that first domino gets knocked down, like, you know, we could be seeing 3 straight days of trades, which would be fun.
Man, so if you're a Minnesota fan, are you happy that they gave up that for Hansel?
It's a lot, although I can't blame Minnesota for kind of going all in this year.
Yeah, I would too, because they're aging. This is kind of, and like, it wouldn't shock me if they won the Stanley Cup.
No, and it wouldn't shock me if they were out in the first round either.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, for a franchise that's been good but never great, you know, they sunk all that money into Parise and Suter. Like, they've got a nice little core there, but, yeah, I don't know how long that window's going to be open for.
How long Devin Dubnyk's going to be good?
Kind of a weird place this year. Yeah. Like,
nah, I'd go for it if I was him. That's a lot for Hansel. But that might also tell you what Minnesota saw as possibly available out there.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's not going to be a great first rounder. Obviously, it'll be low because Minnesota's high in the standings. But still.
Devin Dubnyk, man.
What the hell?
Well, I've always thought he was kind of good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he bounced around so much that I just gave up on him. But, like, what a find that was for them.
Like, I would love to know what happened there. Was it simply a change in his approach to the game? Was it something just clicked for him? Was it just a different, he finally was in an atmosphere that was right? I mean, he was in Edmonton before. Like, that was hard times, obviously. You had no defense in front of you whatsoever. He was a young goalie. So I get why he struggled there. But, like, it didn't seem when we had him for a hot minute or any of the other places he landed, like, oh, Devin Dubnyk's starting to put it back together. He seemed completely lost in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Now he's with the Wild. Look what I did there. Beauty. All right, the trades are coming fast. This is essentially our trade deadline episode now.
Yeah, this is fun.
Matt Duchene may go before we're done this thing. No, I'm not seeing that at all. That seems to be Bishop and Hansel. Though those are had to be two of the big, like, who are the big names available at this deadline? Let's get who would you want to see move now? Matt Duchene, I guess?
Yeah, there's like almost two categories. There's Colorado, but no one really knows what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Like, if Colorado blows things up and trades one of Duchene or Landeskog or both, then those are by far the two biggest names that are out there. But besides that, there's not a ton.
No.
A Gimla?
Yeah. Jerome. I just want to see him go to Calgary or Edmonton. I don't really care anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, just get... I just want Jerome out of Colorado. It's not fair.
Yeah, it's really not.
Save Jerome. Like, he's not really very good at all anymore. Age has really entirely caught up with him, even from where he was with Boston a couple years ago. Like, he's slowed down significantly. He's not much, but...
He was too slow then, to be honest.
Maybe he ends up with the Oilers. That would be sweet. I'd like that one.
That would be fun.
Like, not for any reason other than, like, narratives. I don't really think... I mean, I think it would be a decent move for Edmonton because they might be able to use a guy like him as they're about to enter their first playoffs ever. But I don't know if it would, like, significantly make them any better. Plus, it would probably piss off Flames fans, which are fun.
I would like to see a Gimla and McDavid on the same line just so I could see the fastest player in the league and the slowest player in the league skating together.
Do you really think he's the slowest? He is goddamn slow.
No, but he's in the bottom 10 percentile.
Man, he was so fast back in his day.
Yeah.
He could move. I mean, I don't know if he's ever one of the fastest in the league, but he could move, and now he just like, yeah, you drag him up and down the ice, that's for sure. How old is Jerome at this point?
He's 40, I think.
Oh, shit, that's older than I thought, actually. Good for him, then.
Yeah.
All right, time to play.
He's 30. I'm looking at 39. He's got 8 goals, 10 assists on the season.
Huh. All right, quickly, mid-pod interview, and then we got to get into You Get One. This time, Sean, you were interviewing me on the mid-pod interview, even though this podcast is almost over. Post-pod, almost post-pod interview. All right, and go.
All right, I'm here with Zach Vanoss. We're doing an outdoor podcast. We do about 6 of these a year to try and increase our brand. How's the fresh air and the ice affecting your podcast?
Well, it just reminds me, you know, when we used to get together, me and siblings and the friends, and, you know, just kind of play around out front and pretended we were podcasting as kids, you know, pretended to be all the big podcasters of back in the day, and it just takes you back to that time.
Well, that's why we do it, right? You love it, right? You got to love it, right?
Oh, you absolutely have to love it. No, it's about loving it, and it's about, you know, going back to those old days and your roots and loving it.
Well, you go have fun out there.
Thanks. That was good. I like what you did there. What do you think? I was kind of feeling like the Pittsburgh game the other night was one too many for me.
I forgot it was happening until I got to the bar and it was playing.
Yeah, that's how I felt it was one too far because I also had no idea.
The one thing I would like to see, and they haven't done this yet, if Pittsburgh and Philly are going to play an outdoor game, like do it at Penn State, right?
Yeah, exactly. Get the ghost of Joe Paterno to drop the puck. Be sweet. All right, time for You Get One. The Habs at the deadline, you get a top 3D man or a, let's say, second line center. Which would you rather see the Habs get?
Second line center.
Yeah, that's probably where they're more.
I think this team needs some punch. I think, you know, their decor, yeah, they could add both, but there's enough there on defense. Especially with Julien at the helm now, and especially with presumably Carey Price returning back to form. I think this team needs scoring and playmaking much more than it needs help on the blue line.
Here's another bit called, how much should Bergevin be in? How much should Bergevin be in this year?
I don't know. I've kind of taken a step back on this one.
Mm.
A couple weeks ago, I was thinking, like, you know, go all in. You've got Carey. Like, who knows how many shots of this you're going to get. I'm not convinced this is a team that's going to win a Stanley Cup.
So you think maybe give Claude Julien some more time, since he is a top 3 to 5 coach.
Yeah.
You still got everybody on those deals next year, but it is pretty much the last chance. Next year is the big year to do it. Move some first, do some big moves at the draft, come out with, you know, make sure you get your guy on the blue line and make sure you get your guy up front.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way. Yeah, see how the Vegas thing shakes out. There's going to be some good players available.
That's right.
I think you kind of roll it back next year, and then you know this year you hope that Carey gets hot.
That sounds decent, but yeah, I still think even under the category of hoping Carey gets hot, you still more importantly you need that centerman if you're going to have any chance. If you don't add someone else down the middle, I think you're pretty much screwed. Unless Claude Julien can reanimate Thomas Plekanec once more, and he has looked better, but I mean. Not better, you know what I mean? I wouldn't want to be depending on Tommy P, especially in the playoffs, where he tends to disappear.
Yeah, there's going to be some decent players available. You know, St. Louis has a couple guys coming up. Boston, they might blow things up. Like, I think there's going to be, between now and next year, some guys, more guys available than there are, between now and Wednesday.
There's nobody available between now and Wednesday. I saw a list of players, like, I think top 15 players or something, and David Dale, that was on it. So, yeah, I know.
Oh, Lord.
Over under time, how many more games does David Dalnay play with the Canadiens? He got his first start ever under Claude Julien against Toronto on Saturday night. I'm taking under 3.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll stay around the rest of the season, but it wouldn't surprise me if they do bring in another forward, and if you bring in another forward at this point, Dalnay's really out of luck.
Yeah.
He was attached to Terrier. He had a good run. He'll enjoy Las Vegas.
He did have a good run. As much shit as we gave him, he had, he was overpaid and he wasn't as good as his coach thought he was, and was largely dependent on Pat Reddy for his success. But he had a nice little career.
Yeah, I mean, he was a victim of Michel Therrien's love of him.
Yeah,
we may feel very and the paycheck that he got, but he wasn't like it wasn't. People kind of acted like David Dalton is getting like $6 million a year. He was getting like 3.5. It was too much for him for what he contributed, but it wasn't an albatross contract.
No, and I was never a big fan, but he had a good little career, but it's over.
Thanks for coming, DD. For your size and your skill, you made a lot of money. Congratulations. Now you'll go live in Las Vegas for a little while.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about the trade deadline?
What's that?
Anything else you want to say about the trade deadline?
What do you think about Duchene? Is it worth it?
Not at the prices that I'm apparently hearing. So not any, basically not Sergachev, but I'm interested in Duchene at a reasonable price. He's not as good as I think some people think.
I looked up his numbers the other day and they weren't as good as I thought.
He's on a really horrible team though.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He would be a really nice ad for the Canadiens. Like let's not pretend that him on the second line would not be, or playing between Radulov and Pacioretty would not be fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, you watch him on those Olympic teams like that. He's got wheels on him.
Yeah, I would be very happy if they got Duchene, and really, I'd okay with any sort of overpayment to a degree as long as it probably doesn't include Sergachev.
He is the type of guy who you'd be willing to overpay for.
Yeah.
And if, like I said, I don't think Bergevin should go all in this year, but if you're going to go all in, he's a player who's worth doing it for. You don't do it for someone like, I don't know, Patrick Sharp. But for Duchene, yeah, I can see it.
Mostly not because Patrick Sharp's a sex addict. Gotta watch out for that.
There is that.
Someday that'll catch on for us. Still can't figure out why we can't get any advertisers. Is Duchene a free agent?
We're all on the map with our strategies.
We are. Maybe it's a lack of focus. Is he a free agent at the end of the year? Or is there more? You get more out of him.
Who, Sharp?
No, Duchene.
I think he's locked in for a little while. I'm
taking
actually.
A look right now at Cap Friendly. Check out Cap Friendly.
Yeah, that's been a nice. It's filled the Cap Geek void relatively nicely.
Yeah. All right, who's their players here? Colorado. This is good.
You'd rather have Duchene than Landeskog?
Yeah, I think so. Though, not that I care all that much. I'd be happy with either of those guys.
Yeah.
$6 million cap hit.
That's fair. That's
and,
fine.
And seems to continue through to 18-19. So...
Okay.
Yeah, no, I give quite a bit for him, considering you get to keep him. Maybe that's the deal to make right now, because that puts you in the nice place of what we were talking about, where if Price gets hot, you still need that second line center. So there you go. You got Matt Duchene to fill that. You hope maybe that can carry you. But really, once you add Matt Duchene to the mix, then you maybe get some room. You know, Thomas Plekanec gone in the offseason. That covers more or less the Duchene contract. Maybe you got some room to bring in one more blue liner. And then I think you start to see a team that could possibly be for real a contender.
Yeah, I think if you're going to make that move, you don't do it on a rental. If you can get it for a guy who's – so if he's there for two more years, that's basically what we figure the team's window is anyways, right?
Yeah, I'm even more on it now that I've seen that contract.
Yeah, I'd be okay with it.
All right, let's do it. Do it, Mark.
Done.
Do it. All right, that'll do it for us as well. Positive space before we get out of here. Give us something to feel good about, Sean.
This makes me feel good. It might make others feel bad.
That's your favorite thing to do.
What's that?
A little Schadenfreude here.
Yeah, that was also my Tinder bio for a while.
Go on.
PK. How about PK?
How about him, eh? That's nice.
He's looking like PK again.
Yeah, he is.
The Preds are still kind of doing the two steps forward, one and a half step back thing, but
they've been good lately.
Every time they look like they're about to take off, they go on a losing streak. But they, I mean, Forsberg's looking good, and PK's looking really, really good.
Do you think, here's a one final really good question. Who won that trade, the Philip Forsberg trade between Buffalo and Nashville, do you think?
I think I read this week that Forsberg has had more goals, like more second period goals in the last 10 games than Erat ever scored with the Caps.
We've probably got more goals in the last three games than Erat ever scored with the Caps. Oh, it was the Caps? I thought it was Buffalo for some reason.
No, it was Washington.
Oh, that's especially, my God, thank God they did that.
I know.
Imagine if they had Forsberg.
That team with Philip Forsberg on him.
Oof, thank God. That's really stupid. I remember it seemed really stupid at the time, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Good positive space. A positive thing there is at least Washington doesn't have Philip Forsberg as well. That would be terrifying.
Yeah.
Positive space for me. Well, for one, I'm not quite as down on this team as some people are. I still think they're a good team, just having their struggles again, but closure only fix that. But also, we beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 14 times in a row. Let's not pretend that's not nothing.
Yeah.
In the world in which, you know, you don't necessarily win a Stanley Cup every year or go on long playoff runs, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. And we're also, what, like 10 out of 12 against Boston or something?
Yeah, there's been very solid ownership of Boston and Toronto, except for that most recent game against the Bruins. But, like, overall, we've been dominating those two for the last, like, 3 years. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is.
Must frustrate them. That's got to be good. That's my positive space. Sad for others as well. I guess that's what happiness is in this world, though. It's hard to be happy if you're not making someone else sad.
True.
We'll leave it on that real great note for you. I guess we'll probably try and get one in next weekend because it'll be post-trade deadline, so there might be some good stuff to talk about.
Post-trade deadline and post the return.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. So many storylines this week.
Yeah.
He gets
a good reception, right?
Absolutely. No, he's going to get a huge reception.
Yeah. There'll be 2% of Bergevin Kool-Aid drinkers who are going to boo him, but...
No, he's going to get it. And deservedly get a huge reception.
Yeah.
Reception.
I swear to God, if I hear boos, that 38% I mentioned earlier goes down to minus 5%.
So that's what you can watch for, people. That's a big one to watch for. So you can follow huge Nashville Wild fan Sean O'Neill on Twitter at The O'Neill Factor. I'm at Zach Drops Tweets. Of course, you can find this podcast at The Montreal Bias. And at Rabbit Habs is the website. We'll have a forum up this week, I think, kind of talking about what we think the Canadiens should do at the deadline. So you can check for all our contributors' opinions on that. I'll be jumping back on the recency bias, of course, after the Habs games this week as well. So lots of stuff coming your way from us. And yeah, of course, I still miss the college days of trade deadline when we'd just skip class and order pizza. It feels weird to skip work, and especially since there might not be any good trades at all this year.
Yeah, it does.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, buddy.
Good times.
Great times.
Claude Julien, man.
I know.